What is prayer? It will seem like we're not really talking about prayer today, because really what we're going to emphasize is getting the word in your heart and being led by the Spirit. Prayer is a fellowship with God. So we understand that we need to have fellowship with the Father, but so many people base their lives on endeavoring to have fellowship without the word. Endeavoring to have fellowship, and they don't understand that the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of them, and they are praying and asking for things that was already given them through the word, and God expects us to use our faith for, or they're coming and begging for things that really we have the authority to come and to take and to receive. And there are things that we can pray for, and there are specifics. It doesn't say, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt move to Lee Summit, but some people have heard from the Holy Ghost. It bore witness with their spirit, and they knew. Well, we've had more than, and we've got different couples at Spirit of Faith, Cedar Rapids, that we've said, well, hold on, you know, that will probably eventually move out as well, because they just have it in their spirit. You know, we'll get a building, and we're going to be starting a daycare. We have a thriving daycare there in Cedar Rapids, and we will eventually have one here, because children are very much on our hearts. Yes. And we have seen countless children and the daycare parents get saved, and oh, it's just wonderful to see that. We've seen them get filled with the Holy Ghost. It's just wonderful. So we're looking forward to that as well. It's all coming to pass. Amen. But we have this beautiful facility, and of course we have to take a little extra time on Saturday night and, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, but I think all of the individuals, even the ones driving back and forth, can say this has been a blessed time. You know that you're imparting, but you're receiving more really than what you're putting out. Because over the years, Pastor Jay and I, and God dealt with us because of your faithfulness, because of your giving, and we have been involved with every type of helps ministry you can imagine since 18 years old and younger. Pastor even younger than that, because he was raised in a Mennonite family. They grew up in church. I went to church on Easter and holidays with my parents. We loved God, but we weren't serving God like we should. Bluebirds love the Lord. That's what Brother Norval Hayes says. But, you know, to serve him and put him first and go to a church and, you know, be honorable to a pastor and receive the word of God and revelation. It's a whole different thing. It's not something that we can pick and choose every other Sunday or just on the holidays. And I had to learn that. And I got involved, and I was faithful. And because of that, God said, I brought you back helps ministry. What you've sown is coming back. And I tell you, you can see that. Thank you, Lord. He's so good to us. One minister said, prayer is spiritual communication between, I believe Billy Graham said this, prayer is spiritual communication between man and God, a two-way relationship in which man should not only talk to God, but also listen to him. Amen. Well, that's good. 2 Corinthians 13:14, though, and I would like you to go there, because I want to base really our time in the word on this scripture. 2 Corinthians 13:14. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that just means, really, grace is a synonymous term with the Spirit of God, with the anointing that lives inside of you, the Spirit of Christ who lives inside of you, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So notice the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll just say this, which lives in you, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And that communion, that word means fellowship. Yes. Now in 2 Corinthians 13:14, in the Amplified, it says, and this might be a little bit more teachy, but if I see that you're falling asleep, I'm gonna, you know. 2 Corinthians 13:14, because we're sharing more out of our heart along this line. We just want to get what the Holy... I've written a lot of things down, so I'm probably going to be reading more word for word. Why do I do that? Because I write it like he gives it to me. So I don't have to give everything inspiration in the moment, because as I was getting ready, I was just writing a lot of things down. And but we'll just go on here. And whether I read it, speak it out, you know, just take it as revelation.
It's our help.
Yeah, it's your help. By faith, take it as revelation. So in the Amplified, it says, the grace or the favor and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence, there you go, and fellowship. How many know the presence of God lives inside of you?
Yes.
And fellowship, the communion and sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So communion means partnership. Literally participation. So there's something on God's side, but there's something on our side. And what did God give us? Grace.
Yes.
The anointing
yes.
within. The fruit of the Spirit, which really is in seed form. Inherent in you are seeds of faith, joy, peace. You know, if somebody comes to me and says, hey, Pastor, can you pray for peace? I'm like, you need to stir up the peace you have inside of you. I understand you can pray that way for the world. But as Christians, we need to understand that we draw from the peace of God within. I don't have to pray for peace for you. I don't have to pray, you know, joy over you. There is an anointing that can come on you and help you and a comfort and that type of thing. But draw from within.
Amen.
I do pray that God comforts individuals.
Amen.
But you stirred up participation. He gave us everything we need. He gave us all the tools that we need. And we've given this illustration that if you own a house or you rent a house and you go into that house and you need coffee, what do? You go in the kitchen?
Yep.
Do you start begging, Lord, I need some coffee?
No.
Excuse that high pitch. No, you go in, you turn on, and just like I did this morning, I know that I'm a minister, I know that I'm a pastor, but I'm not above making coffee, right? So, and Ann wanted to know, would you like anything, Pastor? No, I can make my coffee, I'm good. And so I turned on, and I put in the grounds, and I put my stuff in there, and turned it on, and put the cup in there. In other words, if you want some Java, you got to turn on the machine. You got to do some things. You got to participate. It's not just going to flow out. And too many people are coming to God like, Lord, do something in my situation. But he's given you all the tools. We just need to get to know who we have in fellowship. We need to know the communion of the Holy Ghost isn't just coming and asking him for everything and it's just on his end. And if he doesn't provide, and here's a little side note, he already has. But if he, in our mind, if he's not providing, we're needing to beg him. And do you know that there are people all over the world that are begging God, that are praying, that are, Lord, I need help. And he sent you the help. See, that's why we're here, to let people know that as you meditate on the word, that word will become one with you.
Yes. Yes.
I call that communion.
Yes.
I call that fellowship.
Yes.
See, if you're dealing with addictions in your life, it's not about begging God to be free. You really have already been set free. The more you get the word in your heart, the more that stuff will be pushed out. The more that you get the word in your heart, the more you will hunger for it, and the more that it will be pushed out. You know, I've been watching my weight, and I don't know if you all notice, I've lost all, you know, almost a size.
Praise God.
I know. I told you, you'd be seeing less of me. All right. But I don't know how I got off on that and how that had anything to do with our message. But anyway, what you put inside of you can add or take away. All right. So it's a partnership. Another word is interaction. It does say social intercourse, and don't get off on that word. It just means to interact. Distribution. Contribution, association, joint partnership. So communion with God is a joint participation. My mouth is still waking up. I just got back Friday night, late Friday night, and praise the Lord, we're all good. We were in California for the prayer conference. So he imparts the Holy Spirit and revelation of his word to our human spirits or to our hearts. And we participate by taking his word and the witness of the Spirit and applying it in this natural earthly realm.
Yes.
It's a participation. But it's the Holy Ghost living inside of you, the Spirit of Christ, we could say, synonymous terms, the grace, the anointing, the life, the power of God living inside of you, the glory of God. You understand there's a corporate glory that comes on the church, or the power of God that comes upon a person. But inside of you, the Spirit of Christ. You know, when I start talking about this stuff, I'm like, this is yum. This is good.
Yes.
I'm hungry for revelation of the simplicity of God's word.
Yes.
I'm not here to give you any heavy revies. I just want it to be simple to you. That's my prayer. I'm going to, there's something that I wrote out in my book, Divine Healing Health for Today and Faith on Trial, but there's a statement here. When we get to know the author of the book, then we will learn to trust him and wholeheartedly use our faith to access all the promises of his word.
Yes.
In other words, when we get to know the author who lives inside of us, who wrote his book, the Bible. And did you know that the word of God is a catalyst that actually helps to produce fruit in your spirit? And it moves out from your spirit to produce life in any arena of need that you need it, whether it's healing and health. If you take healing scriptures by Jesus Christ, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed and made whole. We talk about Isaiah 53, 3-5, and you write that down. And you go there and you read it. For he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for mine iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. So that's peace of mine. And by his stripes, I am healed. We were healed, according to 1 Peter 2:24. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness lives inside of you, but that righteousness comes out. In any arena of your life that you need the power of God to work in you, put it in your mouth. Put it in your heart by meditation. It's a confession of meditation. You may not understand, but as you start confessing, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. Eventually, you'll get a revelation of it. And you can go to the Father and say, Father, I ask you for the healing power of God to minister to this situation and specifically mention that. Take that as your own. Become one with the word by meditation, and then it becomes revelation. It's a knowledge of God's word, but that's a knowledge of a book that you may not understand, but it becomes revelation, or you can say faith's understanding of the heart. Revelation and understanding in spiritual things is the same thing. It comes knowledge, and it's understanding, and then what? Wisdom. It becomes wisdom when you apply it.
Yes, that's right.
And then you continually walk in it. Make it your own. Go to the scripture. Find out what you have in Christ, what you can do in Christ. Find out what he's given you. Do you need healing in your body? You can go to the Father and ask for it. He said, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Doesn't mean just keep putting it off. He says, ask, and you shall. Now, you may not feel it. You may not see it.
Come on.
But by faith, you take the healer.
That's right.
By faith, you take forgiveness of sin. By faith. And if you want to know God, get to know his word. Get to know the author of the book, then we will learn to trust him and wholeheartedly use our faith to access all the promises of his word. When we get to know the one who forgives, we will more quickly receive his mercy and compassion. When we get to know the provider, we will more easily receive his provision. And when we get to know the healer, we will more readily act on his healing power within.
Amen.
So when somebody says, hey, come to prayer. Don't get burdened down. It's like, oh, prayer? No, get excited. It's really a time to meditate on what you have in Christ and how to just take that to him in prayer, in fellowship. Or it may just mean worshiping him. You know, in our minds and the devil talking in your ear, have you ever thought, well, Pastor Jay's been talking about praise and worship and just praising all through the day and worshiping all through the day. And you know, my mind's saying, boring. You ever been there, done that? Okay, well, you don't have to tell the truth. It comes as a result of fellowship. You just don't, okay, I'm going to praise for 50 times in the next hour. Boring.
Yeah.
Let it come out of fellowship.
Yes.
Otherwise, you might as well go to Mexico and do penance. I'm just saying. If you're from Mexico, you know, I'm not. Anyway, moving right along. I love the Mexican people. Sorry, Lorenzo. Sorry. All right. Are you from Mexico? I don't know. Anyway. Excuse me. Excuse me. Pardon me. Okay. Yo comprendo un poco español, no mucho. Yo necesito practicar mi español. Okay. Alrighty. Moving right along. Waking y'all up. Thank you. I give Lorenzo a hard time because we said, who the pastor loveth, he picketh on, or she picketh on. So, anyway, moving right along. Ministering to others. Now, this is something I just read, so I just want to put that in there. It was on a feed on a Facebook page a minister has. Ministering to others, you can only give out from your own personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you're not spending time with him through prayer and the Word of God, you really have nothing to give out. Your reservoir is empty.
Yeah.
So take an empty reservoir and you're saying, Lord, I praise you, I praise you, I praise you. Lord, I worship you, I worship you. And there's no word.
No, right.
Yeah. You see, worship and praise comes from a relationship.
Yes.
And a relationship comes from a knowledge or a revelation of God's word. So you've got to get the word of God inside of you if you want fellowship with the Father, and if you want to learn truly to come to him, come to his throne, and to pray effectively, then you've got to get the word of God.
Yes.
That's got to be, so we can make this statement, the church cannot be based on prayer alone. It's got to be based on the Word of God.
Right. That's right.
I think it's there in Psalms 138. He has magnified His word above His name.
Yes.
He has magnified His word above His name. So we use the name of Jesus in prayer, right? In Jesus' name, we come and we ask from the Father. Why do you do that? Sometimes I stop and I explain. I understand I'm on different, you know, but we'll come back. But in the name of Jesus, we come and we ask, and then we expect God to move in that situation, and we just begin to thank him.
Yes.
But it's all based on what we got out of the word and what we came to ask. What's it based on? So we don't have to come beg, and we're not coming with an empty reservoir. We've been meditating on the word of God, and we've been getting revelation that by Jesus' stripes now we're healed.
Yeah.
We're prospered. We're blessed. So we bring the scriptures back that promise us, you know, those needs be met. And we take it to the Father. And we either just say, Father, I thank you that I have this. Just like if a banker were to call you up and say, hey, your aunt gave you a house. Did you have to beg for that house? No, it's already yours. It's already in your name. All you have to do is come sign on the dotted line and then go in the house. Do you have to go in the house and start begging? No. Need coffee, remember? Go in that kitchen, go make it. You need to use the bedroom, whatever, the facilities. And you use what you already have.
Yes. That's right.
Well, the kingdom of God lives inside of you, and all the tools that you need to operate in the kingdom of God, or in other words, the realm of the spirit which lives inside of you, you receive in that realm. I believe that I receive healing. I believe that I receive the financial need that I met. Father, I need $150 in that situation. Or I need $1,000, whatever. It may be $100,000. But we need to grow to a place where we have a trust.
Yes.
It's not about the amount. Not about that. It's about growing and becoming skilled in receiving even a penny. And just continue to trust Him. So we receive from the realm of the Spirit, and then it comes into the natural realm. How? Through our words, through our praise, through our thanksgiving, that is affecting change. It's producing, it's pushing out that power of the Holy Ghost inside of us, and it's either affecting parts of your body or it's affecting situations.
Yes.
Now, farmers of prosperity, you've got to commission your angels to go out.
That's right.
And you've got to tell the devil to take his hands off. Why? Because he actually is the god of this world. Adam sold out and relinquished authority to the devil. So we have to say in Jesus' name, Satan, take your hands off of it. But you release your faith, and the angels, they're heirs for us, heirs of salvation.
Yes.
And they go, and we have to tell them what to do.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Go bring in.
Yes.
What we need.
That's right.
In Jesus' name, Father, I ask for this specific amount, and I commission the angels to go out, and I tell the devil, you take your hands off of it, and then we plant seed.
Yes.
We plant seed. How many know that you don't get a harvest when you don't plant any seed?
Right.
There's really nothing that we've received in life that we didn't plant seed ahead of time. And the seed isn't your tithe. That's actually just 10% of what's already God's, and you're giving it back to Him. And the windows of heaven are open to you because you're a tither. Back in the Old Testament, the windows of heaven were closed. In the New Testament, the windows of heaven are opened in Christ. In this era of grace through faith. Amen. So, Romans 8, 14 through 16. Now, I'm putting a lot of different explanations, so you may need to get this and listen to it over and over again. Go to the site and listen to it over and over, because I do put a lot of things in there to bring understanding of what we're saying. Romans 8, 14 through 16. It's like when we say that the Holy Spirit is synonymous terms with grace, anointing, light, so on. I didn't always hear it that way. I just thought, oh, well, the Holy Spirit's a Holy Spirit. But when He lives in you, there are different characteristics. There are different things that He's doing on your behalf. So you need to understand, is He giving you light? That's Holy Spirit light, but really it's talking about revelation of the Word. So revelation, light, understanding, they're all synonymous terms, and we just need to understand these things more. All right, so Romans 8, 14 through 16, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, there we go. That spirit of fear will try to come to you and say, you can't be led by the Lord. But if the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, lives inside of you, yes, you can be led.
Yes.
Doesn't say to lead the Lord.
Right.
We are to be led by the Spirit of God. It's a participation, but we are not the leaders.
Right.
We are the participators.
Yes.
Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, because we were adopted in the body of Christ, weren't we? By whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We're children of God. Adam was a child. He relinquished his authority. He lost the life of God within and became a servant. But now in Christ, we've come back as children. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And to be led means to lead, bring, go, induce, lead away, take with one, to lead by laying hold of. And I like it that, Teresa, I'm going to ask you to stand up here.
Okay.
So, I mean, Teresa's the Holy Spirit, right? You're okay with that, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Aren't you glad I didn't ask you to be the devil?
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Well, anyway, because then I would have had to take an authority. Move right along. All right. So she's the Holy Spirit. And it's not me coming and, okay, we're going this direction, Lord.
Right.
All right. The Holy Spirit is not your pet.
Thank you.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is the Father, the Son, living inside of you, and He is to be honored and respected, not led.
Right. Thank you.
Healy Jew.
Yes.
I think some of you got it there.
Yes.
We are not to lead the Spirit. He is to lead us. So when we are pushing what we want, for instance, Lord, I really want to do this. Lord, I really want to do this. Lord, I really want to do this. Eventually, he may let you do it, but that doesn't mean his blessing's on it, or that doesn't mean his full blessing. It may just, you know, we've got the perfect will of God, but then we've got the acceptable.
That's right.
What do you want? Well, we're growing. We get by for a while with that acceptable. But perfect means mature.
Yes.
In other words, that means a person that's developed,
yes,
renewed mind, developed heart. So a spiritually strong person is getting the Word of God inside of them, making themselves one with the Word. Jesus is the Word.
Yes.
You've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and Jesus is the Word.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
But really, you could say this, the Word of God, it gets inside of you, and it's a catalyst that helps the Holy Spirit to produce whatever you need. There's a catalytic, what do you call that? Not converter, but an explosion. Reaction. Catalytic reaction. Just like a jet, you need to put fuel in that jet, and it thrust that jet. Pastor Jay says, well, anyway, move on. I'm getting off. All right. We should never. All right. I'm going to back up here. Excuse me. Bearing witness with our born again spirit is the number one way that a Christian is led by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you have so many things coming at you that you want to say, but we're led. So the Holy Ghost bearing witness with us, that's number one way to be led. Eventually, we'll do more of a teaching on the three primary ways to be led by the Spirit. You've got, bearing witness, a small, still voice of the Spirit. Then you've got the authoritative voice of the Spirit. But it's the bearing witness there in Romans 8:14 that is the primary way. And like Dad Hagen said, that was the primary way we got saved.
Yeah.
So don't we believe that he would use the bearing witness with most everything in our life? You understand there are certain things that you need more specifics on.
Yes.
So there is a still small voice of the Spirit that will bear witness with your spirit. But what do you have to do to be sensitive?
Yes.
Put the Word in there.
Amen. You have the Word.
And the Word will push out the other things that are inhibiting your hearing.
That's right.
You see, you got to get the channel on. You got to get on the right channel. Some of us are on about 20 different channels. And we've got to get it down to one channel. How do we do that? Just put the Word in there. Put the Word. And he will push out the things that are inhibiting. He'll push out the things. Really, you could look at it as a garden that hasn't been weeded for a long time. Got to get the weeds out of there.
Yes.
Because you've got the Holy Ghost down inside of you. You've got grace inside of you. Inherent in you is joy and peace and faith and love and all of these things that are in seed form and they need to grow. Remember last week we learned it's like a muscle? You go in there and you don't say, I need muscles. You got to go in there and you got to learn to lift some things. And we push against circumstances. In other words, we use our faith and it begins to grow. As you use your faith to use peace, stir it up.
Absolutely.
That may mean, you know, stir up the joy. That may mean just dancing. I'm not saying in front of everybody and being weird. You understand. I'm just saying that there have been times in the middle of the night I was dealing with symptoms and I got up and just started dancing.
Right.
Or times in my own prayer that I just got up and I get in revelation of the Word and I just start dancing. And I'm using my faith in that. Now, we can pray in the Holy Ghost, but praying in the Holy Ghost will give you light. But it's not using your faith in particular.
Yeah.
So we don't pray in the Holy Ghost for healing. No, we get in the Word, meditate on the Word, take that Word to ourselves, believe that we receive healing in health, either pray to the Father or just simply receive that you have it. In Jesus' name, I receive that I'm well and I'm healed,
yes.
And I just say my leg's healed and whole.
Yes.
Many times I lay hands on whatever area, it's healed and whole.
Yes.
So you can say, Father, I'm asking you for healing, or you can just lay hands and say, I have healing already.
Yes. Amen.
What do? You just thank God for it. Thank God. You don't. Praying in tongues helps to strengthen you. Praying in tongues, it's like this big searchlight that gives you light and understanding, but it is not using your faith. But let me tell you something. Praying in tongues and using your faith, and that's what we would call psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen? Because it has thrust with it.
Yes.
So somebody who prays in the Holy Ghost and strengthens himself and then speaks the word of God, it becomes a spirit of faith.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
You say it with confidence.
Yes.
Because you've been praying in the Spirit and you're getting stronger.
Yes.
In the Lord. So we can hear a voice or have a supernatural happening that may bring seeming direction to our lives. It may seem like direction's coming, but we better be full of the Word and make sure it is in line with God's Word and the witness of the Holy Spirit inside.
Yes.
It may sound good or look good in the natural, but there could be trouble ahead.
Yeah.
There's a cliff ahead. What do? That's why we pray the Word in the prayers of Paul or the Pauline prayers.
Yes.
You've got Ephesians 1 and 3, and you've got Colossians. Ephesians 1, for instance, and 3, I often put those together, and I prayed for you all with those prayers. I pray for the president and his family. I pray for Pastor Nancy. I pray for the alliance countries, the military throughout the world. And you'd like to pray for all those people? I do. It doesn't take me very long. I just say it like I just said there. I bring I take it for myself. Like Pastor Nancy says, you have light, just take it. You don't really have to pray for light for yourself. Just take it by faith. But you can say, Lord, I pray for light. It's the same way as either taking what you already have or praying to the Father. But one way or the other, you've got to believe that you receive it and start thanking God you have it.
Yes.
You understand? Because in John 14, it talks about Jesus said, you'll do these works. Just like, and more will you do. Because I go to my Father.
Yes.
But so we come in Jesus' name. We don't pray to Jesus.
Yeah.
We come in Jesus' name and we believe that we receive.
Yeah.
Or we can just speak to it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Where it said in John 16, you can go to the Father and ask.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do either way, but believe that you receive and you have the same result. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Is that good? Yeah. So in 2 Corinthians 11, 12 through 14, it says, what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in things of which they boast. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So we can be duped. We can be taken in by false prophets, by ministers that don't have the right motives. And I'm not vying for anybody. I'm just saying in general. It's all over. Amen. We have to be careful. And I did see this by the Spirit of God. So we're going to see some things come down, but don't be afraid. And don't take pandushta, peresto, jindende, bresuka. Walk in love toward the body of Christ. And don't speak against ministry gifts, but know that some will fall and come down. So that was by the Spirit of God. That was a tongue and interpretation. And again, I'm not vying for anybody. That was the Holy Ghost that was prompting me by the Spirit to minister that. Okay? I believe most men and women are of right heart when they start out and they want to do things for God, but we can get off. So we have to constantly check our motives.
Yes.
You understand? And then there are people that can be restored. Why? Because there's a seed of the word in there. Amen. Yes. So we pray.
Yes.
We pray for our pastors. We pray for ministers.
Yes.
And but at the same time, we surround ourselves with those things that will help keep us right.
Yes.
Amen. And keep our motives right.
Amen.
So important. But we don't set ourselves up that we could never fall, lest we do fall and become prideful and fall. So we're not putting down our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we pray for them, and we pray for the body of Christ, and we understand that we've got to teach people how to be led by the Spirit of God and not to just listen to voices, not just listen to what people are saying, but have the Word. Have the Word inside of you. So honestly, as a pastor, if I were to fall, I would expect the congregation to know the difference.
Yes, ma'am.
I would expect them, if we've taught them right, they would know, okay, that's not right. And if they needed to move on to another church or something, you know, some people, everything's wrong. And they think that everything that they have is right. But the reason that you're in the church is to get that stinking thinking changed out. So we don't have a motive that, okay, we need to go correct the pastor and I need to pray for pastor that he believes like me. But we go to the Ephesians prayers and pray, Lord, I pray that they would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And you can put their name in there. I pray for Pastor Jay and Pastor Debbie. I pray for our president. I pray for, you know, rather than put the president down. You understand? I mean, you may not agree with them, but we don't put them down. And we pray for their family and their staff and so on and so forth. I pray for Pastor Nancy and her family and her ministry and the school and World Harvest. Of course, pray for our churches and so on and so forth. Our families, my family, Pastor Jay's family. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, there in Ephesians 1, starts there around 15, 16. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Eyes of our understanding, in other words, that you'd have revelation,
yes,
would be enlightened, that we would know the hope of your calling. In other words, that's an expectancy, the hope of your calling, that we'd know the plan of God, the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of your inheritance,
yes.
Who you are in Christ, what you can do in Christ, what you have in Christ,
yes.
That you would know the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, in Christ's realities, that you would know. And then we go on to Ephesians 3, you know the power of God. In Ephesians 3, that you be strengthened by the Holy Ghost in your inner man, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Being rooted and grounded in the love of God, you would know the height and the length and the width and the depth of all the saints. You would know the love of God that passes all knowledge, and you would be filled up to all the fullness of God. What is that fullness? Well, it's the Word, and it's yielding to the Holy Ghost. But there is not a percentage of the Holy Ghost in you. No, just the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Now, you can get a percentage of the Word in you. You understand.
Wow.
Revelation, understand, knowledge. But the Holy Ghost is a person of the Godhead, and there is not 10% of him in you. He's just there.
That's right.
Yes.
Utilize, get full of him. Now, the Holy Ghost can come on you, and that is an anointing, and there can be a percentage of anointing that you're walking in that respect, you understand? But the Holy Ghost is a person in the Godhead, so we don't just say, Lord, I need more of you.
Yeah.
We don't pray, Lord, I need more of you. Well, Lord, that Pastor Debbie, that takes my doctrine well, it needs to. We need to shoot some hole in some of our doctrines because we don't need to pray for more of the Holy Ghost. And I'll just tell off on myself, if that's all right. I won't use you. I'll tell off on me. Years ago, I got this song and I just thought it was such a wonderful song. More of you, more of you, more of you in the morning, more of you in the night, more of you and your anointing, more of your light. In other words, I'm just wanting understanding. I'm wanting to walk in increased understanding. I'm wanting to walk in increased. How do you do that? get the word in you. And then that will be a catalyst for the Holy Ghost to work fully in your life. But the Holy Ghost isn't there in your spirit in percentage. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Meditate on that a while. You'll get it. So, what time is it? Are we doing all right? Are y'all with me today?
Yes.
Very quickly, I want you to go to Acts chapter 8, and we may or may not end with this. Acts chapter 8, because it's important that you understand. Now, first of all, go to Galatians. Galatians 5. I thought you were talking about prayer, Pastor Debbie. I am. Talking about what gets inside of you and what will help you to produce.
Absolutely.
What will help your confidence when you are in prayer with the Father? What do you have to take to the throne room? Do you have the Word of God inside of you pushing out the things that are inhibiting your hearing? Have you been yielding to oppression? Start stirring up the joy, because joy will push out oppression. Have you been yielding to disturbedness in your mind and what have you? Yield to the peace of God. Let the peace of God come up and mount garrison over your heart and mind there in Philippians chapter 4. How do you do that? You just start thanking God, I have peace that passes all understanding, and it keeps my mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Amplified says mounts garrison. And he took the chastisement of your what?
Peace.
Your peace. That's your mind, right? Now, we believe with our heart, not our mind, not the mental arena. That's where people get off, and they try to, frankly, let's just say it, manipulate God through what their mind is saying. No, we're not leading the Holy Ghost. We're coming and asking him. First of all, we're doing what the Word says. And then we're asking for revelation of specifics.
Yes.
And it's a bearing witness by the Spirit of God, and we're led by him.
Yes.
Amen? Yes. Rather than telling him what to do. Now, in Galatians 5:16, it says, Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And what does that word walk mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. It means to tread all around, to live, be occupied with, use or utilize, keep in step. In other words, use your faith.
Yeah.
Walk in the Spirit. What does it mean? Really, it's talking about using the fruit of your human spirit that is deposited there by the Holy Spirit. So it really, like Dad Hagen brings out, that capital S could be a small s, because it's talking about the human spirit.
Right.
I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do we know that? Because as we go on, it's talking about the fruit of the human spirit. In verse 18, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, of the like. These are all opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, all right? These are things that will get inside of your heart. You see, you come to God with a clean slate as you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, but you can get some things back in. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to lose the Holy Spirit, and that doesn't mean you're going to, but there are seeds in there that need to be developed, and as you develop those things, it will push out this stuff. So in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, that's what I'm saying. Really, it should say the fruit of the human spirit by the Holy Spirit. See, I'm not changing the word there. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. Yeah, long-suffering's in there. Yeah. Kindness in your marriage, in your life, with your boss.
Yep.
When you don't always agree with the pastor.
Yeah, come on.
Well, moving right along. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Yeah, we should be gentle and kind to one another. I'm so glad you're all excited about that.
Praise God.
Not duped. Not taken in by people that come in sheep's clothing, but they're wolves, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Against such there's no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit there. It means using the fruit of your Spirit. Really, in the Spirit is being conscious and aware of the Holy Ghost within.
Yes.
Now, you can pray in the Spirit, and that means you're praying in tongues. You understand? But some people look at in the Spirit as, okay, I've had a really bad day. I need to go home. And, they unzip out of their carnal suit, and then they step in. Okay, I'm going to my prayer closet. Zip.
Right.
Hallelujah! I'm all of a sudden in the Spirit. No, it's a matter of just yielding to your Spirit. And if you've been carnal, I'm sorry, Lord, that was wrong. In other words, get back in the Spirit. What do you mean get back in the Spirit? Start yielding to love again. Start yielding to peace again. See, people think that getting in the Spirit, I got to go in the bathroom, check up. Then get back and... Yeah, like Dr. Dufresne said, I don't need to get ready for my ministry time by warring in tongues. I'm just saying.
Yes.
Now, all right, moving right along. That was all free.
Yes.
In other words, stay in peace.
Yes.
Stay in peace. Amen. Yield to the Holy Ghost. We're talking about the Holy Spirit within you and what you have inside. Now, we said renewing the mind, developing the heart. So very quickly, go to Colossians, because I wasn't planning on doing this, but I need to get to Acts 8. So if you'll give me, who'll give me 5 minutes?
Yes.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45. Okay, I have 45 minutes. All right. Somebody just lost their false teeth. Okay. If you have false teeth, I'm sorry. I wasn't talking about you. All right. Colossians 3. So 3 verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. What do you mean? Well, the kingdom of God lives in you. So seeking the things that are above really is seeking the things in your heart.
Right.
Seeking the Holy Spirit who's inside. Becoming aware, conscious and aware of the Holy Spirit within you. And knowing that you've got love, you've got joy, you've got peace. You got these things inside, and if you don't put the Word of God inside of you, then these things cannot grow, because it's the Word that is the catalyst, and you got to speak it out of your mouth and act on it in order for this mind to be renewed and this Spirit to be developed. What do you mean? Well, let's move on. It says in verse 5, therefore, put to death your members, which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves walk in when you are in them. So that's the things of your old man.
Yeah.
The new man lives inside, and you need to develop that. Okay, if you don't develop the joy and the peace and the love and the gentleness and the kindness on the inside through the knowledge of God's word that becomes revelation, then you start speaking it out, or you say it, you act on it, you do what the Holy Ghost is witnessing you to do, and as you do that, your faith will grow.
That's right.
If you use joy, joy will grow. It's a seed form. Okay, it's not, your mind is renewed, your spirit is developed. In other words, you've already got the seeds. The Holy Ghost is in there.
Yes, he is.
But you've got to develop the tools that he's given you.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
But your mind, it's like when you wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, and that hair is like this, right? You got to comb it.
Yeah.
You got to comb your mind. There's physiological pathways in the natural. I had physiological psychology class, and you understood the pathways of the mind. And as you think on something, as you say it, it changes the pathways of your brain. It happens. How many know if you draw from within the word that's in your heart, it's got to get in the heart. I'm not just talking about a mental understanding of the word, but get it in your heart. You may not understand it fully with the head, but your heart's going, yeah, that's right. I don't understand why I'm healed, but the word says it. So you receive it with your heart and you say it with your mouth, and it's changing the pathways of your brain. So your mind is then coming in agreement with your heart. Your mind and your heart are two different things, but they produce the same thing. Knowledge, revelation, wisdom. And you start walking in a multifaceted wisdom of God. Amen? Because you're actively using your faith. I've said this before, but it's like a woman that goes into a store and you see that dress. And you go, I like that dress. So you buy it, you take it home. Do you put that dress on over your clothes?
No.
I don't think so. I don't know any woman in here that wants bulges, okay? Guys, you didn't hear that. All right, but anyway, moving right along. So you take off the old, and then you put on the new. Now, so you've got to put down by faith addictions. By faith, set it down.
Amen.
Father, I don't know how to get past this. I don't know how to stop smoking. I don't know how to stop yielding to this. I don't know how to stop yielding to anger. What does it say? Verse 5, therefore, put to death. Lay it on the altar. Just simply say, Father, by faith, I lay this bad habit down. And what do you do? Verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these. Now, but it says in verse 10, and put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. And that word renewed means renovated. If you come in here and we say, hey, we're going to renovate this. And next week you come back and nothing was done. Well, that wasn't renovated. But if you come back and the floor is all, you know, taken up and it's replaced with a new one, it's been changed out. Put on the new man. In other words, use your faith. Walk in love. Walk in peace. Stir up the joy. Use your faith for healing and health. Use your faith to receive the prosperity of the Lord and tell the devil to take, you know, commission the angels and tell the devil to take his hands off of it. Use your faith for victorious living. And it's a process where your mind will be renewed and your heart is developed at the same time. Those seeds, just like those muscles, they're growing and they're being developed. And you're becoming spiritually strong and mature. And the church is becoming mighty men and women of God that are able to go out and affect. To be a more sensitive and spiritual mom and dad. To go out and affect the world. To be led by the Spirit rather than being inhibited and walking in fear all the time of what people think. No, Jesus turned around. He was led by, he did what he saw his Father do. In other words, he was led by his Spirit, and he knew what to do, where to go, who to reach out to. My friend, you'll know that. And if you're confused in any way about that, just stay put where you are. Don't try to push your plan. Well, I think I had to do this. Well, I think I had to do this. What you need to do is sit there and get the word in you. You ever heard mom and dad say that? Well, I want to be a fireman. Well, I want to do this. You just need to be a kid, okay? Just need to be a kid. Go to school. Learn 2 + 2. 2 + 2 is not 10. We are not politically correct. It is 4. Okay? And we're growing. Well, that's what, you know. If you they changed that. If you lose your volleyball game, politically correct, everybody won. No, they didn't. They lost. You need to get better so you can win. All right. Need to do some calisthenics and some skills and things like that. I mean, you know, I was one of those, I don't say it anymore, but I was one of those clumsy girls, you understand? And when I tried to be, I could do basketball and volleyball and all the sports. I was very good at all that. But cheerleaders, it's like, you know, that I was not the cheerleader or the drill team girl. A lot of them were my friends, you understand? But where was I going with that? But I didn't have that skill. Oh, I was going somewhere. Why don't you stand up? Before I get another story. Praise the Lord. Notice there it says, and they have put on the new man is renewed in knowledge. There was something good I was going to get on that, but it'll come back to me if I need to say it. Put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image, there we go, of him who created him. If you put the word of God in your heart, you're building an image.
Yes, indeed.
The image of God is becoming more clear to you. It's the image of his word, and we learn to do what his word says, and then we've got to follow the witness of the Spirit who gives us the specifics.
Yes.
All right? That's communion. And then we're able to come and learn more about the deeper things of prayer, mm-hmm. what have you, getting in the Spirit, praying for our, well, we pray the word for our pastors. Now, real quickly, I'll just go there. I think I can, yeah, here we go. So we pray in line with Ephesians 1, 15, 22. Chapter 3, so on and so forth, Ephesians 16. We pray for utterance for our pastors in 2 Thessalonians. You don't have to write all this down, but 2 Thessalonians, because we're going to be going over it, especially in the prayer group. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2 says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. So we're going to teach you that you ought to be praying that for these services.
Amen.
That the word of the Lord would go swiftly and that we wouldn't be hindered.
Right.
In our, you know, and we don't take authority over things that are not happening, because then you're just, you know, I take authority over sickness. I take authority over the flu. Well, do you have the flu? Well, no, but I don't want to get it. Well, that's fear.
Yeah.
I said, that's fear. You don't have to do that. If you're dealing with symptoms, you take authority over the symptoms.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just saying. All right.
Good.
But that the word of the Lord, but we do say that we're delivered from unreasonable, wicked men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we thank you, Lord, that everything goes smooth in our services.
Yes.
And then we pray Acts 4:29. We'll end with this. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy child Jesus, so on and so forth, that we may speak the word of God with boldness, and great grace was upon them all. Why? Because they learned to pray the word. They were praying effectively.
Yes.
Get the word in your heart. Let the word become one with you. And then it will push out the wrong things. We were going to go to Acts chapter 8, and we were going to see that Simon the sorcerer got saved. He sat on the front row under Philip and saw the miracles. He saw and heard them. But then when Peter came and was going to get people filled with the Holy Ghost, Simon wanted the gift of that Holy Ghost. He saw something on them, and he wanted that so that he could get back to his old ways of sorcery. He wanted the gift of the Holy Ghost for the wrong motive.
Yes.
And then Peter said, you got bitterness in your heart.
Yeah.
He had some wrong things. How? Well, he was a clean slate when he got saved, but he let things back in. We can let things back in by hearing, seeing our atmosphere. We've got to be in atmospheres that are conducive for spirit of for growth. We can't just be hanging out at the bars.
Right.
We can't just be hanging. We've got relatives and family, and we walk in love with them, but there's certain family I cannot be around for a long period of time.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say this, there are even some family that you love your mom and dad, but you can't even let your children stay overnight.
Yeah.
Not everybody.
Yeah. Right.
Not everybody. It's what is on them.
Right.
Well, that's my mom and daddy. You know, don't be talking like that about my mom and daddy. You want your kids to be protected?
Yes.
Get them around the right atmospheres. So some people, you got to be there and make sure you're protecting them and keeping them. Because parents, the only I'll say this and I'll quit. I think I'll quit. They come and demonic things have gotten off on their children. I'm like, what's your mom yielding to? What's your dad yielding to? And you're taking them over there every day? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can get mad at the preacher about that, but consider it.
Yes.
See what the Holy Ghost says and use wisdom. And you're going to have to take authority over that stuff, but don't keep taking them to that place without provision, without protection.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's your help. That's your help. Praise the Lord. Well, let's lift our hands. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the Word of God. We become one with your Word. We are already one with the Holy Spirit, but we allow your Word to come in us as we meditate on it. We allow revelation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. Why don't you give me a key of C? Hallelujah. I believe your words are working in me. I believe your words are working mightily. I believe your words are working for me. I believe. Come on, say this. I believe your words are working mightily. I believe, Lord, you're faithful. You're so faithful. You're faithful and true today. Lord, you're faithful. Oh, Lord, you're faithful. Oh, Lord, you're faithful. Loving and kind in every way, I believe. Say, I believe your words.
They're working in me.
Yes.
Oh, I believe your words, your words. They're working in me. One more time, I believe. Oh, yes, I believe your words are working in me. I believe. It's changing me. Hallelujah. If there's a need in your life, if there's anything that you say, I'd like somebody to agree with me in prayer, we're going to have Reverend Andre and Maya. And we have Ann Armstrong with us. She's in charge of our pastoral care at the Cedar Rapids. And she oversees our altar care, and she leads our prayer group in Cedar Rapids under Pastor Jay. But if there's anything that you need, they can minister to you. Each one of them have a ministry anointing to minister the healing power of God if you need that. But we just receive by faith, don't we? We just receive by faith. Or if you want them to agree with you. So they'll come up here and come on up. And I'm also going to ask something. If you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost and you would like that power in your life, again, that's not how you use your faith, but being filled with the Holy Ghost and yielding to praying in other tongues will help you pray, and it will help you become stronger. It will help enlighten you. Amen. Is there anyone in here that would like to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Because they will actually take you in a back room and we won't embarrass you. But is there anybody that would be like to filled with the Holy Ghost? and you're just hungry for more of the things of God.
Yes, thank you.
More of the things of God.
Okay.
All right. Everybody know Jesus in here? Anybody need to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Why don't you bow your heads? And if that would be you, you can just raise your hand and we will accommodate you. Amen. Anybody in here need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? All right. Anybody over that live stream, you can look at me in the congregation as well. And we just speak to those that are watching. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we'd like to pray a prayer with you today to receive. And you can also contact our ministry. You can go to Eberly Ministries, Eberly, E-B-E-R-L-Y, ministries.org, and you can get online, and we will send you material free of charge for salvation, for baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can go to our vault and listen to countless hours of ministry. You can avail yourself, you can order books or what have you. But there are materials that we would send you free if you need along the line of salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And right now, I would just say, bow your heads. Put your hand, reach it out to that screen and say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I believe Jesus Christ died for me. I believe that he raised from the dead. He went to hell. He took the keys of death. And now I receive him as my Lord and Savior. He was raised again that I might have life. I receive that life inside of me now. I receive Jesus in my heart. That grace that Pastor Debbie was talking about. Now I'm saved. In Jesus' name. Simple as that. Tell a friend. Find a church that teaches the redemption message of healing, prosperity, forgiveness in Christ. Come to him if you've missed it and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, we can't just keep sinning and say we're saved by grace. No, we've got to come to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I missed it. But we get back up and we walk in who we are in Christ. Learn about that. Look at our materials. Keep watching the live stream. Get involved with a good church in your area, and we'll put our faith with yours that God will lead you across the right people to be in the right place. We love you and we appreciate you and thank you for watching today.